Before Paul starts my time, let me tell you, thank you so much for coming. I know it takes a lot of time out of your evening. This is simply a Bible study, and as Floyd pointed out, there's no winners or losers here. It's not a contest. We don't care anything about that. It's just an in-depth Bible study where both sides are fairly heard. You ought to be able to tell that Floyd is a gentleman, and he acts like one. We appreciate his kind demeanor, and we're friends. We do disagree on this subject, and we'll let you decide who is right, correct about this subject based upon the passages. Here you can go to that website and get the charts I'm using in this debate. Later, within a week or so, I'll get the audio for the debate there loaded so that you can download the MP3 and listen to it directly off your computer, burn it to a CD, whatever you want to. That's all, of course, free of charge. Thank you for coming. I appreciate it. Okay, Paul. And I also want to thank the church here for hosting the debate tonight. I appreciate that. Floyd said a good bit. He does a good job at presenting what he believes. A very effective communicator, obviously. Much better than me. But on the other hand, I have the Bible on my side. He presented his position, but before we start talking about what he said, let's look at what the Bible very clearly says about this. And this is God's Word, so it ought to settle the matter. Human reasoning should not settle the matter. And I think Floyd is asking you to solve it, settle it with human reasoning. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 34 and 35, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church." I really, off the top of my head, can't think of a passage that's more clear on any subject than this passage is on this subject. Let your women keep silence in the churches. Now, that's not talking about all the time, like at the Burger King, if you ate there tonight, rhymes. In the church assembly, when the whole church is all together, come into one place. Verse 23 of this same chapter explains it. They're to keep silence. It's a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, that's very, very clear, and that should settle the matter. That this idea of women preachers is against the Scriptures. I'd like you to also notice 1 Timothy 2, verses 11 and 12. "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not, or I allow not, a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." But what is the command? We're talking about now at this point in the discussion. It's for a woman not to teach over the man. To whom does it apply? The woman. When does it apply? At all times. And that would certainly include the church assembly, which is the focus of this debate. Now, these two passages are very clear. Keep silence in the church. It's a shame for women to speak in the church. She's not to teach nor usurp authority over the man. And when she preaches the sermon in the church assembly, assuming there are men in there, she's teaching, usurping authority over the man. Now, those are clear. We've laid down what the Bible says. Now, let's talk about the human reasoning that Floyd so ably presented. The first point I think that he made, significant, that I wrote down, was that, and this is pretty much a direct quote, "The Bible must be interpreted in relation to the facts of the time it is written." Let's talk about that. By that reasoning, and much of the reasoning that Floyd used tonight, by that reasoning, what's to keep Floyd, a homosexual, from saying that the prohibition against homosexuality in Romans 1, 26 and 27, and other passages, only applied to that time, that place, and those persons? After all, the Bible must be interpreted in relation to the facts of the time it is written, and the people back then thought homosexuality is wrong, but our society today doesn't frown upon it, at least near as much as they used to. So according to your reasoning, that would make homosexuality okay. Now, Floyd, I'm not going to let you get away from this. I'm going to ask you in every speech. First of all, now I'm going to ask you, are you opposed to homosexuality? Now, I mean by that, do you believe the Bible forbids the practice of it? I want you to tell us yes or no. Because all your argumentation, if followed to its logical conclusion, says that it's all right and that we should endorse it. I don't believe that you believe that. But your argumentation would suggest that. We'll talk more about that as we get some other points that you made in your lesson. But what we're talking about now is this general idea that the Bible must be interpreted in relation to the facts of the time it's written. I want us to notice some points from 1 Corinthians 14 and see if it sounds like God intended for this prohibition of the women speaking in the church was only to apply to the church at Corinth because of some special things that were going on there. And that's really Floyd's argument, I think. Let's look at Corinth. First of all, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Now, a lot of times we don't think about this, but we think that this book was written to the church at Corinth. And it was, but not the church at Corinth alone. It says in verse 2, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. So it wasn't just written to the church at Corinth, it's written to the church at Corinth with all those who call upon the name of the Lord. Now that gets all the Christians then that lived at that time, and it gets all the Christians now, because we call upon the name of the Lord today. We ask Him to save us. So you see, this is a universal thing. God intended for the instructions in this book to apply at Corinth, but He put it in the Bible, which He obviously then He intended it to regulate the churches all throughout this dispensation. So the prohibition in 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35, I maintain, was for everybody then and for all of us today. Not just one particular thing, as Floyd is trying to argue. Now in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 through 13, Paul makes the claim that the things that he wrote were not the words of men, but as he says in verse 13, he says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Ghost teacheth. So again, these are the things that come from God. They're just not man's opinion. Now man, we could say, suppose at one time men were prejudiced against women, and they wrote these things because they were prejudiced. I think that's really Floyd's argument. That's not true. Paul didn't write these things because he was prejudiced against women. God gave him the words to say. And then in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17, again, adding to the point that I'm making, the universality of what Paul taught in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 34 and 35. I'm looking at chapter 4, verse 17. He says, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which is being Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. It didn't just apply to that church, it applied everywhere. Then notice in 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35, the passage in question, he says, let your women keep silence in the churches, plural. Many people think that this is only applied to that church. No, churches in general. And then it says, the reason given why the Corinthian women were to keep silence in the church, assembly, in verse 35, he says, because it's a shame for women, that's women in general, to speak in the church. It didn't just apply to the Corinthian women. And then, this is maybe the most important verse on this chapter, on this point. Two or three verses after Paul said, by inspiration, in verses 34 and 35 of chapter 14, the women are to keep silence in the church. It's a shame for women to speak in the church. He says, if any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now that would certainly include verses 34 and 35. Floyd, this is the commandment of the Lord. Like, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's the commandment of the Lord. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. That's the commandment of the Lord. Thou shalt not commit adultery. One of the Ten Commandments. That was a commandment of the Lord in the Old Testament. Paul is saying this is the commandment of the Lord, of Jesus Christ, that the women are to keep silence in the church. So it doesn't sound like to me that we ought to place this in a category that said this is going to change just because society changes. Just because society has changed and thinks homosexuality is okay now and two men can marry each other, that's not something that we ought to change on as Christians. We got to hold what the Bible says, and it's the same with this. And then as Floyd does, my friend Floyd Rose, he is a friend of mine. I'm not just putting on, I say that sincerely. I love him as a brother in Christ. He is wrong about this, but we hope that he will change back to the way he used to believe when he believed the truth on this. As he does, he's done in the other two discussions that I've had with him, he brings up the issue of the black and white thing. The whites having slaves, black slaves in this country 100, 150, 200 years ago. And he mentioned, for example, how that the whites would try to use the Bible in one hand, as he said, and the whip in the other, they would try to use the Bible to justify slavery by looking at passages like, servants, obey your masters. Now, I think what I would like to do is do a couple of things before we address that directly. First of all, I want to apologize. For if my ancestors ever enslaved any of your ancestors, we apologize. That was wrong. Okay? And we mean that sincerely. And Floyd understands, one of his points is that you whites have changed on this. You've gotten better. He'll say, why can't you do the same on the women preachers thing? We have gotten better. I know there's still a few holdouts that are still prejudiced, but we're trying to work on those. We apologize for that. Slavery. Okay? Second of all, I would like to clear up a misunderstanding about slavery. The slavery that went on in our country, yes, was justified by some evil white men with Bibles. But the kind of slavery that was in our country was never justifiable by the Bible. Not that kind of slavery. Let's look at the kind of slavery that the Bible does justify. We'll look at this as for example. Now, and I'm particularly talking about the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the God authorized the children of Israel to go have a war, and as the spoils of war, they could take slaves by force. That was part of war. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about the New Testament. We're not to do that. We're not allowed as a Christian to go to war and go kill people and take people as slaves and things like that in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament, there is a type of slavery that is justified. You read a passage. But look at the kind of slavery we're talking about. Leviticus 25, verse 47. It says, if a sojourner or stranger wax rich with thee, and thy brother that dwelleth by him wax poor, sell himself, and sell himself to the stranger sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family. Matthew 18, verse 25 shows us another example of this. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, all that he had, in payment to be made. We have what we call indentured slavery. Somebody went into debt. Sometimes they had to become a slave to pay off the debt. They might say, I'm going to sell myself into slavery for 7 years, whatever, and pay off this debt. It was a voluntary kind of slavery. So when it says, when the Bible in the New Testament says something like, servants, obey your masters, in a sense that would justify that kind of slavery, it had to be that kind of slavery. Because in the New Testament, this kind of thing that we're talking about happened in our country would be strictly forbidden by passages like Matthew 5:39, I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whomsoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, if you'd like to turn there, it's an interesting passage. 1 Timothy 1, verse 10, I plan to bring this up in the homosexual debate tomorrow morning for a different reason. But it says, for the prostitutes, for them that defile themselves with mankind, that's the homosexuals, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. Now notice this word men stealers in the King James. The newer translations will say slave traders. That's condemned. So for a white man to go over to Africa or wherever it was and to put a gun to somebody's head and take a young man into slavery by holding up his family or him, that was never according to the New Testament law. That was wrong. That was wrong. Now, I believe we've gotten that out of the way. Now, I would like to do this. I want to show you this distinction. As I said, evil white men made slaves of black people 150 years ago in this country and tried to justify it by the Bible. They were wrong. They were wrong. The Bible never said that slaves are inferior to whites, that blacks are inferior to whites, therefore they can be slaves. The Bible never said that. If they made justifications of what they were doing by the Bible, they were wrong in that. There's a big difference, though. I've shown you two passages, 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35, 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12, that show clearly the Bible says that women are not to teach over the man and they're not to speak in the assembly. Do you see the difference? The Bible never said blacks are to be slaves to whites. That's why that was wrong. But the Bible clearly says that men and women have different roles. Not that one is inferior to the other, but they have different roles and the women are not to speak in the church, and that's the issue tonight. Now let me get back to the homosexual thing now, Floyd. I want you to deal with this. Your reasoning here again is that since whites were wrong in having black slaves, but they justified it by the Bible, therefore we, whites and blacks, who are opposed to women preachers, are wrong to use the Bible to try to justify women not speaking in the church. We've already pointed out the passage says they ought to not speak in the church, but be that as it may, that same argumentation that you're using, Floyd, would say this. You know tomorrow morning when I have the debate with the gays in Mobile, what they're going to say. They're going to make the same argument. They're going to say, Pat, y'all's prejudice against the gays is the same as the whites' prejudice against the blacks 50 years ago. And they're both wrong on the same basis. They're going to make the same argument you're making, Floyd. They're going to make the same argument. It's the fact that us whites, my ancestors. Did the blacks wrong in slavery, and then 150 years ago, and then even 50 years ago, were prejudiced against them, like they wouldn't let you in Abilene Christian University because you were black many years ago when you were young? That was prejudice. That was wrong. If that alone proves that it's okay for women to preach in the church in spite of what the Bible says, then it would also prove that it's right to be a homosexual in spite of what the Bible says, even though the Bible clearly condemns it. It's the same reasoning. It's the very same reasoning. That's the number one gay argument. You fundamentalists that are against homosexuals, using the Bible to beat our head with it. Romans 1, 26 and 27, other passages. You are just prejudiced against us the same way the whites were prejudiced against the blacks before us the same. They're making the same argument you're making, Floyd, for women preachers. Now, if your argument's right, then their argument's right because it's the same one. You're going to have to tell us what the difference is, Floyd. Now, all that to say this. What does the Bible say about this? It says, let your women keep silence in the churches. It says, for it's a shame for women to speak in the church. It says that women are not allowed to teach nor usurp authority over the man. That's what the Bible says, and it ought to settle the issue.